The police waited, I don't know, 10, 15 seconds. Knocked again.
Taylor's boyfriend maintains cops did not identify themselves, which Kenneth Walker says prompted him to grab his licensed gun and fire a warning shot. Police say that shot hit an officer and they opened fire. Taylor was killed. Also, we hear the charges for the grand jury to consider. None of the charges included murder.
The charges are Commonwealth of Kentucky versus Brett Hankison.
Taylor's family and attorneys demanded the release of the material, but it was a grand juror himself who threatened to sue for its release, saying he wants the full truth to be told.
Rochester, New York's African-American mayor, Lovely Warren, has been indicted. The shocking announcement from upstate New York accused the mayor of taking part in a campaign fraud scheme and violating election laws. The charges announced by Monroe County District Attorney Sandra Dorley, who says in the meantime, the mayor can govern as usual.
Lovely Warren is still the mayor of the city of Rochester. I want us to continue in our community. So I thought the better course was just to notify her of the arraignment.
The mayor's arraignment is Monday. Mayor Warren, who is up for re-election next year, could get up to 4 years in prison if convicted on all charges. Remember, the mayor just made headlines when she publicly fired the African-American police chief over the department's handling of the Daniel Prude suffocation case.
Even after the president is diagnosed with coronavirus and sent to Walter Reed Hospital, the White House still has no plans to change its maskless ways. Officials say there will be no mandate that staff and visitors wear masks while on the White House grounds. Facial coverings are recommended but not required. The White House policy is those in close proximity to the president are tested regularly. In the past, the president has always downplayed the use of masks at his rallies. Even during the debate, he mocked Joe Biden for consistently wearing a mask.
House Majority Whip James Clyburn says what we are seeing is a failure of historic proportions. The African-American lawmaker says President Trump has not stepped up in the battle to control the coronavirus.
The president has refused to step up and lead a national response to stop the spread of this deadly virus.
Clyburn made his remarks during a House hearing. The South Carolina Democrat heard testimony from Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar. Clyburn told him exactly where the Trump administration went wrong.
If Texas Governor Greg Abbott thinks he can get away with limiting mail-in ballot drop-off locations, a civil rights group has a lawsuit for him. An attorney for the group says Governor Abbott is creating an unreasonable burden on voters who have to travel long distances and face longer waits during a pandemic. The governor wants just one drop-off location per county. Attorney Luis Vera says it amounts to voter suppression. The group is trying to get the courts to overturn the governor's one drop-off location per county order. I'm Vanessa Tyler, along with Mike Stevens, on the Black Information Network.
Greetings, WVON family. This is Yaya of Shy Michelle's Homemade Ice Cream, located on the corner of 47th and Wabash. Thank you for celebrating our unveiling of Shy Michelle's with us. For the WVON family, we're going to extend our special on our famous banana pudding ice cream. For the whole month of October, when you come in and say that Yaya sent you, you're going to enjoy half off for your second container of banana pudding ice cream when you purchase your first one at regular price. Again, this is Shy Michelle's Homemade Ice Cream, and we're located on the corner of 47 and Wabash inside the brand new Rosenwald building at 46 East 47th Street. We look forward to seeing you soon.
Hello, I'm Sir Henry Cheatham of Classic Blues and R&B. I want to tell you about my friend, State Farm agent Larry C. Williams. Larry can help you with all of your insurance needs for your home, auto, and life. For fast and dependable service at a competitive price, make sure you give Larry a call at 773-379-9009. That's 773-379-9009. Or you can visit LarryCWilliams.com. Like a good neighbor, Larry C. Williams is here to help you with all of your insurance needs.
Education has the power to change lives. That's why the University of Chicago is committed to helping underrepresented CPS students prepare for and succeed in college. Learn more at partnersinimpact.uchicago.edu.
School may look different this year, but your kids still need their annual physicals and flu shots. Schedule an appointment today at 866-267-2353. Same-day appointments are available. Access Community Health Network, transforming community health care.
Hi, I'm Cliff Kelly, Vietnam veteran and host of America's Heroes Group, the game changer in radio, print, and digital media programming. We are a roundtable talk show where information, resources, and referrals are provided intentionally every Saturday to empower our military population on WVON 1690 AM, the iHeart Radio app from 4 to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. Please visit our website at www.americashg.org.
Hi, this is Cliff Kelly, the host of America's Heroes Group. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident or the result of malpractice, you have only one chance to get the compensation you deserve. You need a law firm you can trust with experience and resources who will fight on your behalf. With a proven track record of excellence both in and out of the courtroom, call Seidman, Margulis, and Fairman at 312-781-1977 for a free consultation, or visit SeidmanLaw.net. That's Seidman, SeidmanLaw.net.
Hey, Cliff, where can a veteran business owner go on the south side of Chicago for breakfast, lunch, and dinner meetings?
I'm a veteran, and that's an easy answer. Pearl's Place on 39th and Michigan. Pearl's Place has free parking available across the street. Reasonably priced, quality food that tastes delicious. Veteran owners, there's no place like Pearl's Place.
Governor of Talk Radio, your executive producer wants to know, where can I go for delicious shrimp? Any suggestions?
Absolutely. The one and only veteran business owner, Harris Gulf Shrimp, at 7448 Vincennes. I personally eat there. The price and shrimp are nothing other than fantastic.
Thank you, the one and only Governor of Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Sister Soldier, proud partner of She Voices on America's Heroes Group. She serves, she matters, where your change becomes empowered. Also, watch me on the web at SheThatInspires.com or YouTube. Remember, I'm every woman because I am just like you.
Service Women Who Serve is proud to partner with Cliff Kelly and the American Heroes Group as an influencer of social change through advocacy, activism, and examination of legacy for military and veterans. We stand as paradigm-shifting thought leaders, believing social justice is grounded in hope.
In the final stretch of the U.S. Census. Make sure that you and everyone in your household has been counted. You matter. Our communities matter. We're all in this.
You're listening to American Heroes, hosted by Cliff Kelly on WVON AM 1690.
Good afternoon. This is the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. I'm Cliff Kelly. This is America's Heroes Group Roundtable. We are globally connected with Family Matters. Our partner, family caregiver, Keisha Jackson. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Saturday, October 3rd, that's today, 2020. I'm the host, Cliff Kelly. Co-host, Colonel Dr. Damon Arnold. Our executive producer is Glenda Smith. Our digital producer, I should say digital media producer, Manny Corazzari. assistant digital media producer is Keelan F. Saturday's topics going now from 4 to 7. Panelist, call-in partner, Keisha Jackson, 22-year retired Air Force veteran and family caregiver. Christopher Beatty, U.S. Marine veteran, Operation Enduring Freedom, Operation Iraqi Freedom, executive director of Super Canine Kennel Master Dog Trainer. I love that. Discussion. Service dogs for veterans. And in fact, the wonderful doctor you were involved.
I love dogs, and I love these things, so I'm really happy that we have both of them on the phone.
Yeah.
Maybe we can talk to
and that's where
Keisha.
So,
Keisha, why don't you tell us a little bit about what this is all about with these service dogs? It sounds like a really important topic for
great.
Us.
Great.
Sure, great. It's good to talk to you this afternoon. Hopefully all is well. I have been excited about having Chris on the show. I've been trying to get him, trying to coordinate schedules because he's so busy since January to talk about this, his business or his program, Temper Canine. Chris is doing really, really great things, heart-touching things for veterans and also in terms of rescuing dogs from shelters. So I wanted Chris to come on today and just to tell us a little bit about Semper Canine and to tell us a little bit about his background, how he got started with Semper Canine and what he's doing, and tell us a little bit about the future. Chris?
That's great. Chris, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Perfect.
Uh-huh. Well, first off, thank you, Keisha, for inviting me on. Thank you, Cliff, for having me on the show. I'm looking forward to our topic of conversation today.
Thank you so much.
And thank you for your service.
Right.
Well. Mm-hmm.
No problem. Thank you. And a quick background on myself. I was, Cliff introduced me, I did eight and a half years active duty as a military working dog handler.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Iraq 3 times with a bomb dog. I went to Israel once and went through the Israeli Defense Force combat instructor's course or train the trainer's course. Came back and I transitioned out of the Marine Corps in 2009. Right in the middle of this recession, unfortunately, or right in the middle of that recession, was very difficult for myself and my family. I did government contracts with a bomb dog for the next about 4.5 years to include another year in Afghanistan with a contract working bomb dog. But in 2013, 2014, obviously the country was still recovering from the recession. My family was growing, and I was really looking at opportunities of creating a career. Up until that point, it was just managing dog programs, and essentially, I was working for someone else's company.
Mm-hmm.
And I was given the opportunity from Semper Fi Fund, a national nonprofit, to pilot a program taking rescue dogs and training those dogs to be disabled or to be service dogs for disabled veterans. And from there, in 2014, my wife and I founded Semper Canine as a national nonprofit, a 501c3. To date, since 2014, we've placed and graduated we've graduated 52 service dog teams.
52.
Almost predominantly using rescue dogs and unwanted dogs that came, a lot of times came from kill shelters. And then we also work with veterans who have service dogs from other organizations or what is commonly referred to as owner-trained service dogs, where they got the dog as a puppy or got the dog throughout some time in their life and have trained that dog specifically for their need. So with that out of the way, I'd love to be able to open up the conversation to you guys as well as the listeners about, what is a service dog and how are they really helping our Americans veterans transitioning out of the military and tackling the worst workforce.
Yeah, because I guess the people who have physical disabilities, right? And then we have people who have, emotional, mental issues with PTSD and those kinds of things as well. And, you know, I did a couple of tours in Iraq, and, you know, I really applaud the kinds of work you did with the bomb-searching dogs. It saved a lot of our service members' lives over there. And I guess that there was a movie that was out as well, you know, that was talking about the bomb squad, you know, that went into Iraq. And they sort of highlighted the service dogs in that capacity as well, you know, for bomb searches. And so how does this really work into someone's life? How do they get involved with this? If they feel like they need a service dog, how do they get in touch with you? You know, what is the process for this?
So typically for someone who's either getting a service dog or maybe in a situation where they can't, you know, they maybe think or have been made aware that a service dog can help them. Usually the first step is always going to be talk to their doctor, whether it's their mental health or their normal physician. They might be finding a specialist to if it's mental health or something, a particular mobility disability or limitation. Mm-hmm. But usually the process always starts with a doctor. It's the doctor's prescribing, you know, the assistance of a service dog.
Okay.
And the same thing applies for emotional support animals. But that's the first step. Once you and your doctor have discussed it and both, you know, essentially established a treatment plan that would include a service dog, it's finding, you know, finding that organization, whether it's a for-profit that's, you know, breeding, purpose-breeding service dogs or service dog candidates, or like Semper Canine, and there are a lot of organizations across the country that are providing these service dogs and these service dog services free of charge, including in 2015, Semper Canine was one of the founding members of the Association of Service Dog Providers for Military Veterans, which was the first organization of its kind that consolidated all the organizations, specifically nonprofits across the United States that were all, you know, doing great things and all providing service dogs or services in their neck of the woods. And we all got together and we have an annual conference that, unfortunately, because of COVID, didn't happen this year, but we do have it planned for next year. And but we got together and we created a national standards. Hey, what are best practices on producing these service dogs for these disabled veterans? And collectively, you know, I think there are somewhere around a dozen organizations now. You know, not to quote big numbers, but I think collectively as an association, we've placed more service dogs with disabled veterans than any other entity in the United States.
What
ourselves on that.
What is a normal breed?
Mm-hmm. It all depends, you know, on a general side of things, labs, golden retrievers, German shepherds, you know, but we use a lot of mixed breed rescue dogs that are mixes of those three predominant breeds. But we see all kinds of things from, you know, giant schnauzers and poodles and poodle mixes, you know, labradoodles and the like. But really, you know, it's not so much the breed, it's what do we want the dog to do. It's for us and for organizations trying to find service dogs and service dog candidates, it's finding a dog that has the temperament,
right,
the aptitude, and the disposition to be, you know, almost like the Navy SEAL of the dog world.
Well, this is a great thing that what is being done with these service dogs. We just appreciate it so much.
I don't know if you know, Chris, but you're talking to Cliff Kelly, who is an extreme animal lover and loves dogs.
Yeah, I did. I did a little bit of research, and I was listening to the show beforehand. To be honest, you know, the joke is for any dog handler, and it was an ongoing, you know, inside joke within the military working dog world that, you know, we get paid to play with dogs. And this career is an extension where, you know, the back end benefit is, you know, and this happens to a lot of veterans, and I'm sure you guys would all attest, for when you take that uniform off, you transition to the civilian world, you know, a lot of these guys and gals are feeling lost, and you're trying to jump into jump into a normal employment, and it just doesn't sometimes mesh well, and a lot of times, you know, they're demons, or maybe their challenges kind of creep up on them, and it keeps them from being a normal person, and so you know, you sometimes you throw in a service dog, or, you know, in a lot of cases, just different types of therapy and different types of treatment plan.
Yeah.
That, you know, showing that veteran that they could be confident, they could overcome these obstacles on their own, mm-hmm. or, you know, having a dog to, you know, perform just little tasks, picking up objects, maybe, you know, providing mm-hmm. some confidence in public, maybe steering them away from a situation, or even reminding them to take their medication, or pay attention to where you are.
Right.
It's that battle buddy mentality.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
To steal that overused phrase, you know, got your six, you know, that's what a lot of these veterans need, is just the confidence to know that they're, hey, I can tackle this day because I've got this person with me that's gonna keep me motivated, keep me focused, and if shit hits the fan, pardon my language, yes. if things go bad, yes. that I've got someone there to help me out.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, do you have a website or any way people can contact your organization?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, Semper Canine. We're on all, I think, almost every social media, but StemperCanine.org. Oh. Little homage to Marine Corps motto, Semper Fidelis. The inside joke is, you know, I've tried to leave the dog world numerous times and always kind of get sucked back in. So I've kind of loved, you know, that. I'm just always going to be canine. It's just the way it is. So.
Oh, that's
but it's
great.
Also a homage to, you know, what we do. Going back to my military career, you know, being able to, you know, just go up to the MWR-10, or, you know, go to different units on base while you're deployed, and yes. take your dog there, and sometimes it just brings out, you know, some good feelings in these service members in tough times. And I, to be honest, that was probably my first trip into using a dog to, you know, boost morale and mm-hmm. build confidence and you know, all the other emotional aspect, you know, benefits of really good dogs.
You know, it's kind of interesting because you said that, you know, you go sometimes to the kill shelters and you also go to rescue dogs from the shelters themselves. You know, I was wondering, you know, some dogs have been abused out there. And is it, you know, for the training portion of it, how long does it take to train the dog? And do you have to deal with any other kinds of emotional problems for the dogs? Because they sometimes are very mistreated in our society. You know, they are really wonderful, wonderful animals. And
yeah.
We need to, you know, take better care of them. But does that pose any particular issues?
It does, you know, and just like with any product, you know, any company is producing, you know, you're going to run into overhead, you're going to run into, you know, flaws within your methodology. And obviously when you talk about, you know, an organic variable like a dog and people with disabilities, you know, it really comes down to a dog that's going to perform for the what the veteran or what the handler needs them for.
Yes.
Sometimes we get dogs, it's, you know, a lot of the dogs we bring in are puppies. They're, you know, mm-hmm. 8, 10, 12, 16 weeks old. Sometimes they're a little bit older. And it takes a year, you know, at least a year, sometimes a year and a half, just to get that dog consistently mm-hmm. behaving the same way. Mm-hmm. And as well as all the different tasks that we teach them can be difficult. But sometimes we get dogs that are 6, 8, 10, 12 months old, may come from a shelter, may come from a breeder. Mm-hmm. Several of our dogs were career changes from certain industries. One of our first dogs that we did was a police dog failure. Dog didn't have a mean dog bone in his body. So we were able to take that obedience and turn him into a really good service dog for a veteran.
Great,
But we do run into a lot of issues with rescue dogs. You know, it's usually not behavior related. A lot of times it's health.
Health, right.
And that's probably one of the biggest challenges we have as an industry trying to find really good dogs to become service dogs, is a lot of times they get scooped up by, you know, regular for families that need dogs.
Right.
Sometimes they just little challenges with their health create issues. But for the most part, when it comes to rescue dogs, as long as we're talking, you know, a majority of dogs are in shelters, they just want jobs. And right. a lot of times they've just been not necessarily neglected, but they haven't been given opportunities to be better dogs.
Yes.
We would like you to do, we are also joined, mm-hmm. Colonel, by someone else who does the same type of work, Keisha Jackson, 22-year retired Air Force veteran and family caregiver. Ms. Jackson, thank you for being with us also.
Oh, most definitely, most definitely. Like I said, this was a topic that I have been looking forward to have on the show for like almost 9 months now, 10 months, because it's such a great topic and, in terms of for caregiving and to be able to help someone with PTSD, to be able to kind of regain a part of their life that maybe they felt that they lost.
Yeah.
And dogs are very supportive in helping to do that. So I'm really grateful for Chris and his time to be able to share this with us. But Chris, I wanted to ask you, do you have any interaction in terms of Veteran Affairs, in terms of providing any support or anything like that? Or is there any connection for service dogs with the Veterans Administration, Veteran Affairs Administration?
Like with the VA or just
mm-hmm.
So it is one of the issues that the Association of Service Dog Providers for Military Veterans is trying to tackle. For those who are interested, you know, in what we do for advocacy and the challenges run in there, the website for the association is servicedogs4vet.org, but it is the number 4, so servicedogs, the number 4, vet.org. Two years ago, we reintroduced the PAWS Act. It's, you know, emotionally renamed PAWS Act 2, mm-hmm. that is supposed to take, you know, money that's already provided within the VA system for assistance dogs and for service dogs, and reallocating that fund to ensure that that veterans who are needing these dogs are getting, because that is probably the biggest challenge. Is one, veterans knowing that they have access to this type of service or this type of care, and then them willing to go through the process. And unfortunately, the VA can't specifically suggest, hey, go get a service dog from this organization. And in fact, a lot of, especially satellite offices, are very hesitant to prescribe a service dog. So the challenge, you know, then becomes, you know, how do we educate, you know, those who could benefit from service dog and the providers, doctors, physicians that should be prescribing these dogs.
You know, Chris, it was one thing I was just thinking, you know, I was speaking to Cliff earlier, and I was talking about, you know, the dogs I grew up with. I had two German Shepherds when I was growing up that were just like deep, deep friends. I mean, and my dog would sit in the window when I went back from school, you know, from college, and he was sitting in the window all day. My mother said never ate anything until I got to the door. And they had this kind of ESP about them, about, you know, how things are going. So I was wondering, you know, you take private donations, and I wonder if it would be a nice idea to, you know, take private donations from veterans or people who are out here, just the general public, that have a concern about their dog, or, you know, just giving a donation in the name of their dog that they grew up with,
mm-hmm.
But some way of supporting this effort, because I think it's so vitally important what you're doing.
Yeah, we are a 501c3 nonprofit, meaning that any tax or any donation that is given to our organization or similar organizations is tax deductible within the federal tax laws.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of organizations, including Simper Canine, we survive on, you know, donations from, you know, maybe it's just listeners. We also we try to solicit from organizations and businesses that provide, you know, funding to organizations that provide care to veterans. But we also, within our area, we're in Northern Virginia, and so we reach out, and we have a lot of, you know, small fundraisers within local businesses and local restaurants that keep us afloat, but we're always looking for, you know, big partners that can really make our program grow. Simper Canine has we bought 34 acre property next to Marine Corps Base Quantico 3 years ago, and we've spent, you know, pinching pennies here and there. We spent the last 3 years preparing to build an 8,000 square foot facility on this property, with the intent that we can go from $10 to $20 a year up to $40, $50 per year.
Okay.
And we can only do that with, you know, additional funding and just additional support from donors and sponsors and private people who are just interested in what we do and want to
Yeah, well, we have to
want to feel good for helping out.
We have to have you back on some point, yeah, you know, because you are giving us some really wonderful information. And, you know, your website, you were saying, is semperk9.org. So I really encourage people to really visit your site. I think this is essential. And we had to have you back some point in time to give you to have you give us some of the wonderful success stories you have with our veterans. But thank
I'd
you again.
Yeah.
Thank you, Chris. And thank you, Keisha, for being on the show. And we're going to now go on to, you know, our call-in partner is So we're going to go on now to the next segment of the show. And I just want to thank you for being with us as our partner. And we will stay with us for the next hour. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Cliff Kelly, Vietnam veteran and host of America's Heroes Group, the game changer in radio, print, and digital media programming. We are a roundtable talk show where information, resources, and referrals are provided intentionally every Saturday to empower our military population on WVON 1690 AM, the iHeart Radio app from 4 to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. Please visit our website at www.americashg.org.
Governor of Talk Radio, your executive producer wants to know, where can I go for delicious shrimp? Any suggestions?
Absolutely. The one and only veteran business owner, Harris Gulf Shrimp, at 7448 Vincennes. I personally eat there. The price and shrimp are nothing other than fantastic.
Thank you, the one and only Governor of Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Cliff Kelly, the host of America's Heroes Group. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident or the result of malpractice, you have only one chance to get the compensation you deserve. You need a law firm you can trust with experience and resources who will fight on your behalf. With a proven track record of excellence both in and out of the courtroom, call Seidman, Margulis, and Fairman at 312-781-1977 for a free consultation, or visit SeidmanLaw.net. That's Seidman, SeidmanLaw.net.
Hey, Cliff, where can a veteran business owner go on the south side of Chicago for breakfast, lunch, and dinner meetings?
I'm a veteran, and that's an easy answer. Pearl's Place on 39th and Michigan. Pearl's Place has free parking available across the street. Reasonably priced, quality food that tastes delicious. Veteran owners, there's no place like Pearl's Place.
Hi, I'm Sister Soldier, proud partner of She Voices on America's Heroes Group. She serves, she matters, where your change becomes empowered. Also, watch me on the web at SheVetInspires.com or YouTube. Remember, I'm every woman because I am just like you.
Service Women Who Serve is proud to partner with Cliff Kelly and the American Heroes Group as an influencer of social change through advocacy, activism, and examination of legacy for military and veterans. We stand as paradigm-shifting thought leaders, believing social justice is grounded in hope.